The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
This is 88.5, the SoCal Sound, and I'm here with Cuffed Up. My name's Tristan. I'm usually on the other side of the glass doing audio, but today I'm here talking with Cuffed Up. Thank you guys for coming. We just played a few songs, and we're going to talk about the new record that just came out on April 5th, All You Got. You can get it on your website?
Yeah, our Bandcamp, or pretty much just like a couple of record stores and stuff, but our Bandcamp's the main spot. Cool.
I spent the weekend listening to the record, and it's an awesome record. You guys, congratulations.
Thanks. Thank you.
I heard somewhere that you guys did it all at home, not in a studio at all.
Yeah.
Can you guys talk to that?
Yeah, if you look on the liner notes, it literally says two locations. One location is actually my apartment, which is like the main place that it actually, like, all of it, most of it happened, including like tracking vocals and guitars and then mixing the whole thing. And then the drums were in Joe's spare bedroom, Lip Talk Manor. So that's on the, it's like a Camaro house, a Lip Talk Manor. And yeah, it was all done DIY, just like making mistakes for like a couple months.
Was there a particular reason you decided to do that instead of going to a studio?
Yeah, I mean, we spoke to like some producers we really love, like, I don't know, like Joe Ciccarelli and some of the really cool folks, and ultimately it was gonna cost too much, you know? And for an independent band, you know, it's like, either you put that money into a one-time thing or you can invest in yourself and like teach yourself. So that whole thing about like, teach yourself how to fish, you could fish for life. So, so we decided, like, I made the daunting decision and like pitched it to these guys, and they were like, "All right, we trust you enough." And then we started January 2023 was when we started tracking.
Nice. Yeah, and I mean, you can use that money elsewhere, promoting the record or doing all the things that are necessary when putting out a record.
Yeah,
that are so hard to do. The guitars on the record, I gotta say, there's a lot of different sounds. It sounded like there was a lot of sound smithing going on. Can you guys talk about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the songs exist in the same world, but there are songs that are very different from each other stylistically. Mm-hmm. I will say also, like, just personally, I contributed to the like writing and making of about half the songs on the record. So, you know, there's also a different like lead guitar player and mm-hmm. like vision, even though I played all the parts on the record,
but
I didn't
write
them.
You tweaked a couple too. Obviously.
Yeah, I tweaked some, but so yeah, so there's almost like two different lead guitar voices on there. Yeah. So, but I think I played everything on just the Strat that I normally use for Cuffed Up. Yeah. And then we layered a bunch of things. I did some like slide guitar parts on Meet the End. And, you know, you can go crazy with guitars.
Of course.
I mean, there's so many different.
Manipulate them into anything, basically.
Yeah. Truly. And so.
Well, what was so standout to me was that there were so many different sounds. Like a lot of times on a rock record, you'll get like a through line of like, this is how the chorus guitar sounds.
Yeah.
This is how the, you know, the leads sound. And that's didn't really seem like the case with All You Got.
Yeah.
And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that was on purpose, obviously, because, you know, like, every song, especially when you sonically start to look at it as a mix, like, you're trying to figure out, like, where can the guitar live at that point? And, like, how does it, like, can it tell part of the story, like, in a way because of, like, what the song's about? And then that's also something that, like, I always, like, was trying to figure out. I was like, okay, Christina's guitar does this thing, it's doing this because of, you know, a certain lyric in a song or like moment in the song. How do we make that really like elevate and stand out or really kind of blend in or, you know, like whatever that it needs to do. So, so that's great. And then obviously just us being able to have the freedom and just keep trying.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. I would write and demo my parts. Well, sometimes I think we did all, you guys did all the drums first, right?
We did half the drums.
We did like half, yeah, oh, half the drums first, yeah. And then kind of, yeah, did half the album and then went back and
so I
did
got
the other half.
A yeah. lot of like the other tracks, and then I got to sit with them, listen. If I hadn't already written guitar parts like in the practice space, I got to just demo them at home myself and prepare that way, so that when I met up with yeah. Ralph, we would be, you know, ready to go. So, yeah.
Cool. It seems like there's a through line in the songwriting that you're talking to a particular person, mm-hmm. And or a particular type of person, maybe.
Sure.
Who is that?
I think we're gonna tell you.
Well, this person inspired. Well, the thing is, like, every single song, obviously, we're writing it to a different type of
sure.
person. But like, the overall, you know, the generalities of like the record is like, it's like human nature. Like, okay, we're feeling these certain ways. We're writing to certain people because we're exploring why we feel that way.
Right.
You know. So it's like, all you got the title track is like, in my mind, it was always like. We're saying this to both to this phantom person, but also to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, to realize like, is that all you got? You write it down, you think like, oh, this is a pointed thing, but it's actually pointed towards you in the mirror because mm-hmm. you're trying to realize like, why do I feel this way? And like, is this gonna make me feel better? And you know, like, and you explore that, and that's, you know. But then there's songs that are like obvious where you know, yeah. finer things are about my future wife at that point or my future partner and. But then there's other songs where it's obviously very pointed.
Yeah.
I definitely had some specific people in mind.
Yeah.
But I will say that the great thing about songs that you write is like, when I sing it on stage, it's two different people.
Yeah.
Than
well, it morphs over time, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it changes and you can, I like to, like, before going on stage, think about who I'm singing certain things to, like, today, you know?
Yeah.
Who am I frustrated by today? Who do I have, like, love feelings for today? And that can always make things feel, like, fresh in a performance environment.
Awesome. I think another through line that I caught was a relationship with technology and how that is becoming more and more difficult every day, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, the song Small Fry is literally about, like, tech billionaires, basically. So, I mean, you pick them, pretty much. It's about them. But that's, yeah, I mean, it's technology. But technology is also the reason why we were able to do this record. So,
right.
Like,
yeah.
So it's a push and pull at that point.
Double-edged sword, yeah.
So you guys are playing a couple shows coming up. At the time of this taping, mm-hmm. we were coming up to a show at the Moroccan Lounge on May 2nd.
May 2nd,
yep. Who are you playing with?
Maudlin Strangers, who are really good friends of ours. Jake, I've known Jake for a long time. At this point, I think like 10 years. But his band's kind of like made its return. And so they've started to come. They've toured with like Cold War Kids. They've done like a ton of stuff. So it's like cool to see them back. So we're happy to have them on the
awesome.
Bill. And it's our album release show. This will be the show that we're like celebrating the album. So like we're hoping all the friends will come out, which is nice. And then we're backing.
It's all ages too.
And it's all ages, yeah.
Oh,
it's
really?
All ages. And it's an early show.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Which is sweet. So it's doors at 6:30, you know, so it's like gonna be a very, you come in, hang out with us for a couple hours and then you could go do whatever you want the rest of the night.
Nice. And then you got a string of shows throughout the summer, yeah?
Yeah, so there's, and then the next night we'll be in Las Vegas at the Griffin. Pulsar Presents, who's one of our favorite promoters out there, like they're super rad. We have two great bands with us, including, I think, the direct support. They're called Miss Misses. So we have that great show. We have, in San Diego, we're playing with one of my favorite bands of all time, this band called Little Hurricane. I think it's June 29th at Soda Bar, which we've played
cool.
a ton of times, and we love the staff and the folks at Soda Bar, so we have that. And then we rescheduled our shows, and we're still in the process of doing that, but like we're hoping that Seattle and Portland and like the Bay Area will come back maybe the summer or the fall.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you guys, I mean, you have to enjoy doing the touring thing to continue to do it. How do you balance your life at home with being on the road?
That's a great question.
Joe, you're really good at this.
Yeah, I don't know. Am I good at it? No, I mean, you have to love it because it's a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice, not just for the band, but, you know, our people and families at home.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we, I mean, you just do it, right? You schedule it and you do the best you can and prep. I mean, I know for me, there's a lot of, I kind of have like a whole fitness regimen that I work on for a few months going into it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the van is its whole a whole element, and getting that thing running consistently.
I have to say though, like, because we had the van break down a couple times at the last tour we went on, and the first time was in Vegas, and we mentioned that the van was, we didn't know if that tour was going to continue.
We barely made the show.
We barely made the show. We had to like individually Uber to the venue with our gear.
We broke down a mile away. So we
a mile away at an AutoZone.
Yeah.
Could have walked.
Yeah.
Not with all that gear.
It was pretty hot. It was a hot
day.
But
we played that show and we were like, well, we might be going home tomorrow.
Trying to go to
Salt Lake tomorrow. Van is broken down. And there happened to be someone in the audience that was like a mechanic and wanted to help us out. And he fixed it and gave us a bunch of beers, and we were like back on the road again.
Amazing.
And it's
Lucius, props to Lucius.
Lucius is the homie. Yeah.
You
good
know,
guy.
It sounds corny, but it does. You meet people in different places, and you see the like goodness of people. I think a lot on tour.
Totally.
That's my favorite part of touring is like seeing the people out in the open and realizing like, wow, there's like good people, and not only good people, but like people that really like are so amazed by and invested in new music and bands and stuff that like want to see them, you know, survive
succeed,
and succeed. So, you know, going out there, it's almost like it is a sacrifice for the time and energy, obviously with their families at home and like friends and stuff, but they understand that like it's kind of a part of us, you know, like we love playing live shows. It's something that we'll always be doing forever. In any capacity, so, and it helps that we love hanging out with each other, so it's not gonna work.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta be a little creative. It's not very glamorous. I mean, you're driving 10 hours a day and cramming into hotels and eating junk food, but
when you said it's not very glamorous, I had just like a couple different images of like flood my mind, and I won't explain, but there's a lot of non-glamour moments.
Yeah, we get to learn a lot about the people you're with and all their quirks and odd.
Thinking about the, like, if the van broke down also, like at the very beginning of that tour and the very end, and it was summer and we were just sweating with the van off. We waited 8 hours for it.
Like flies buzzing around.
The flies. Yeah. And
vultures overhead, just waiting.
Yeah, it was the Tahoe Pass, right?
Tahoe Pass before.
Yeah, we broke down there on the way. Ralph missed a Foles concert that night.
He
forgot about
that.
Well, you know.
No.
Anyway.
It seems like we get artists come through the station that are on the road and have been on the road for sometimes months at a time, and you can tell kind of how long they've been on the road by how similar they speak.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They have like the same
cadence.
I was in a band for a long time, and we would go on long stretches, and we'd get what we'd call tour mouth, where it was like everybody started kind of using the same words.
Yeah.
Do you guys kind of get that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I eat more candy when we're on tour. Yeah. I don't usually eat a lot of candy.
Christina loves candy. We'll end up starting to be like, you know what? Yeah, today we're going to treat ourselves today again.
Yeah.
A lot of treating ourselves.
That or like you know, drinking's a thing because obviously every venue gives you like.
Right.
You're trying to watch that out too. But yeah, you're right. I think
that's interesting.
There's like inside jokes and stuff too that become prevalent, and suddenly everyone's speaking kind of very similar.
Yeah.
I read that you guys have a shared love for a band that I also am a big fan of, Death Cab for Cutie. You guys were in a Death Cab for Cutie cover band.
Yeah,
me and Joe. Yeah.
What era Death Cab for Cutie?
All
of it. I would say kind of hit a little bit of everything.
We hit everything. We wanted to do like the greatest hits, basically.
Yeah.
Although there's like cuts. There's like Tiny Vessels from Transatlanticism. Transatlanticism, I think, is probably our favorite record. I think.
I mean, well, Bixby Canyon, is that considered a
Bixby Canyon? Well, that'd be but like Narrow Stairs, Transatlanticism, Plans, kind of. That was pretty much like what we played through. But yeah, Death Cab for Cutie. And it's so funny because like I learned how to sing and play guitar because of Death Cab. So that came full circle when me and Joe started. Expo 86 was the name of the band because that's a it's a Transatlanticism song that no one really mentions ever.
Yeah.
So we played out for about a year, and then that morphed into another band that me and Joe were in called Dr. Doctor. And then when that band was kind of starting to fizzle out a little bit, that was when we started writing stuff for Cuffed Up. So.
Yeah.
And then that was 2018. So it literally overlapped. It went from like Expo 86 to Dr. Doctor to Cuffed Up and like handoffs basically.
So. Awesome. Yeah.
I was just gonna say that Ralph and I grew up in Santa Barbara. We didn't know each other at that time, but we both were at the same Death Cab for Cutie concert. We found out later talking about it. Like, well, I was at that too, yeah.
Is this Santa Barbara Bowl or Arlington?
Santa Barbara Bowl. Santa Barbara.
Okay, those Narrow Stairs.
Yeah,
I remember every Death Cab show.
Dude, I was a rabid fan during those years. I would go to everyone also.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. One of the best live shows I've ever seen.
I agree.
Yeah. Did you see them on the recent tour with Postal Service too? Or?
I did not. Okay. We did a session with them on their last record. So that was
cool.
Great.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
It's available in our archive.
Great.
It's worth
check
a watch.
It out.
Yeah, I'll be checking it out.
I wanted to end with one last question.
Yeah.
What do you guys like doing when you're not making music or on the road?
I'm a filmmaker too, so like I write scripts. So I'll write scripts. So recently started like took my first acting gig. So like doing that and like just storytelling, trying to find different ways of storytelling. That's something that I like to explore. But if it's like unrelated completely to entertainment, I think cooking.
Cool.
I love cooking.
What style of cooking?
Well, I'm obsessed with like pizza. Like pizza is a thing. So like the dough is really important. So like I'll be meticulous about a dough and like, you know, and then I'll make the pizza for my friends and family and they'll be like, it's good. I was like, is it?
You're lying.
Is it great?
But is it good?
Yeah.
But Ralph makes the best pancakes, by the way. Too.
Oh, yeah,
we're a very good like breakfast duo team.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So
that is.
But
right.
Ralph's can't pancakes. Wait to experience are, that.
You have not had our.
No.
Damn, we have
the proper breakfast.
Get kitchenettes on the road.
We do.
Yeah,
we do. I've thought about bringing some of my camping stuff on the road just to whip
just
up some things.
Bring my own plancha.
Yeah.
Start making. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
What do you do?
I've been doing so much music lately, but I do different kinds of things within music. Like sometimes I play many genres. I teach guitar. I love teaching. I especially love teaching like young girls. And I've been reading a lot. I love watching movies. I'm a little Criterion girl. I like watching my Criterion movies.
Do you have any book recommendations?
Right now I'm reading a book by Sarah Polley, who is a Canadian actress and director and just really smart, interesting person.
Right?
She directed
No, that's Kelly Reinhardt.
Away From Her.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's right.
She has some essays about her life that are kind of heartbreaking, but really great. I also read the Abby Jacobson book, which had a lot of pictures in it, but it was fun. It was like a road trip book that she wrote. So just trying to consume. I love consuming as much art, especially movies and things that are not music, because they you need, it can't just be music, you know? And it's inspiring to see other art forms.
Totally. Yeah. It gets different gears moving.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Joe?
I like outside stuff, like running, cycling. Frisbee golf was something I was really into for many years. I don't get a chance to do it as much, but still love that. Hiking, camping. I think my latest passion has definitely been gardening.
What's going on in the garden?
You got a lot of stuff going on in the garden. I got an artichoke plant that's just starting to develop the artichoke, so that's kind of cool. I got some Persian cucumber, planted some beans. So I'm like about a year into getting this garden started.
Very cool. We got to talk later because I'm having some troubles. I think something's digging in the garden.
I wonder if you got voles in there.
I don't know.
The voles can be pretty gnarly. Yeah,
it's like tunnels.
If it's tunnels, it might be voles. And you really have to kind of dig up everything and put some like chicken wire down. Right. Or they make like smoke bombs you could stick in the hole and stuff like that. But I just found they just find another way to go. Yeah. So, and I don't want to like. I don't want to like kill these things either because
I'm ready to.
It's frustrating. I know because they like destroy the yard. So, I'm into reading a lot as well. Been I think ever since COVID, I really started picking up on how much I've been reading. Stolen Focus is a book I just finished.
Okay.
And that book's fantastic.
Who's that by?
I forget the author's name. It's not going to come to me right now. I'll remember it like right when we finish. Okay. But if you look up Stolen Focus, it's a very recent book. It came out within the last year or two. So a lot about social media, but then it talks about, I mean, just everything that's kind of wreaking havoc on everybody's attention span. So technology, poor diets, lack of sleep. It talks a lot about kids and, you know, the ADHD epidemic and stuff. So it's a really interesting book. And I've honestly been trying to like do less in between band stuff and touring, you know, just meditating or going on a walk or just trying not to. I think we live in a society where everyone's trying to just like cram so much in and then rush to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like just this constant cycle through of stuff where a lot of the books that I've been exploring, a lot of it's talking about like, you know, this time when we used to do a little bit less, but you could actually get in deeper.
Nice.
So I've been trying to do that. I don't know, just less, watch less TV and consume less social media and just, I don't know. It used to be when you would walk, you didn't have a phone and things bothering you. So I've been trying to do that more and it's been kind of nice.
Freeing, I'm sure.
A little freeing, just being a little more present.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming by the studio and playing songs for us. The record is amazing. Everybody should go grab one. It is out now. All You Got by Cuffed Up. Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right. This is the SoCal Sound. Thanks.
Till 2 a.m. Butterflies, you keep on running. The thrill of the truth in freeing the chemicals in your mind. Difficult justifying, painted blood in your eyes. Do the mock to dance again.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted, recorded, and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web and over the air at 88.5 FM and thesocalsound.org.